1-213-879-TALK. That's the number here at Talk Radio. It allows you to take part in the program this morning. Now, just let the phone ring. We won't answer it until it's your turn, and that'll save you some money. 1-213-879-8255. That's 1-213-879-TALK.
This is Manila calling. The English service of the Far East Broadcasting Company operating in the Philippines.
Is that still on the air?
No.
I didn't think so. I haven't heard it in a long time. A lot of stations have bit the dust, as we say. What are some of the other stations that are no longer heard?
Oh, well, there's Radio Brazzaville. That was an oldie, the French Empire. Uh-huh. Leopoldville is no longer with us. Well, there's dozens of more. It's due to the political changes of the country. Some of the stations are still there, but under different names.
Uh-huh. All right, let's again say hello to Bob Grove and Dr. Bruce Elving. Dr. Elving and Bob, on October 21st of 1986, last year, President Reagan signed into law the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. And both of you have taken stands on this. What does the act say, and why does it say it?
Well, maybe I don't...
And when did they do it? it has to do with a lot of it regarding cellular telephones, mobile telephones, and cordless telephones. What was the genesis of this act, and why have you two taken strong positions on it?
Bruce, do you want to start, or shall I?
Well, okay, I'll start. Maybe Bob has heard the latest about the act. I have not read it except for preliminary information that I received before it was passed, so there could have been changes, and I understand.
For those who are listening, it makes it illegal to listen.
That's right. It's almost like a totalitarian state, like Eastern Europe or under Nazi Germany in the 1940s. It could get to the point where maybe in this country all we would have to be able to listen to legally would be wired speakers with Chairman Ronald speaking to us. I hope it doesn't get that far. But I've been promoting a technology called FM subcarrier listening, and lately I've been selling mainly to people who are in the business. But I've sold to a few hobbyists, and I feel very strongly that they have a right to unearth anything that's being broadcast over the air, especially on your local FM station, which is sending through a signal clear and reliable and free of static and noise. And on this station, you can have a stereo main channel, but you can also be broadcasting something to a specialized audience, like background music to the stores or medical news.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been one of the most sinister technologies around, in that the broadcasting industry and the manufacturers of radio sets don't make it available to the public. They don't even publicize its existence. But in my FM Atlas, my FM Media newsletter, I've dared to mention this, and people have asked, well, how can I tune this in? And mostly as a service to these people. I'm mainly an information provider. I've made the service, the technology available, and discussed how people can tune it in. If they want more information, my address is Box 24, Adolph, Minnesota, ADOLPH, 55701. And I can send you some information about subscribing to my newsletter or my FM Atlas.
All right. There are scanners out there right now that are able to scan these cellular phone call frequencies. The cellular industry took this thing and presented to the lawmakers, and they're, as I understand it, the driving force behind it. Is that right?
Yes. There's no question whatever that the cellular telephone and common carrier and so on industry was a very, very strong PAC influence in Washington to try to drive home. In fact, they were a contributor, financial contributors to those legislators who constantly drove home to Congress and to the Senate this constant monologue regarding the need for such a law. I don't want to defend it, but let me explain one thing. For example, in Bruce's case, the reception of SCA is very similar in the legislators and in the broadcasters' intent to some of the services that are over satellite. The idea that these services are for sale, and people who essentially tap in could be theoretically charged with theft of services.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, these are not intended for broadcast, but they ride along with a broadcast carrier signal for specific paid receivers out there. And so people who would tap in, essentially, would be tapping into the lifeblood of a commercial enterprise. This is part of the reason for the SCA caveat. It's very similar to the TVRO satellite issue and bill, which is presently going nationwide, being able to get things that aren't scrambled. So far as the cellular aspect of it, cellular telephones were being very loudly hawked and promoted as being private telephone systems, when in fact they are broadcast just as surely as a radio signal is. Well, it is a radio signal, and common scanners were picking them up, and a person could sit back and listen. A person with a UHF TV tuner could sit back to them, but people didn't normally know that. And so there was an attempt by the cellular industry to legislate into law a prohibition against listening to give a false expectation of privacy then.
Now, you know, of course, there's no way of enforcing that.
There certainly isn't. As a matter of fact, the Justice Department, along with the FCC, or in a statement to the FCC, has made the statement, which is now on record, that they will not enforce it. The FBI is in charge of this type of thing, and in the case of the most egregious, that term is in there, we'll have to look it up sometime, but most egregious breaches of it may indeed be prosecuted, but the vast majority...
In fact, the most egregious could get 5 years and a $100,000 fine.
That's pretty egregious.
Yes.
I have yet to see if that $100,000 fine is misprint. I've seen it repeated several times, but my early reading of the proposed legislation would have it at $10,000. So I just wonder whether that $100,000 is a misprint.
I don't know. But the whole idea is inimical to what we've been told ever since the Communications Act of 1934, that anything is broadcast is something that we can receive. And there should be no prohibitions. Now, there is a prohibition about repeating what you might hear, such as police calls, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I don't think that we're opposed to people making a profit off of these technologies. If you're broadcasting background music, we're not encouraging stores to buy the receivers and pirate the signal. We're encouraging them to subscribe. It's just that people out of their hobby and non-profit, non-commercial interests like to tune in. What's there? They probably won't listen very much, but just the fact that it's being broadcast, they occasionally want to be able to tune it in and not have to worry about Scrooge McGovernment coming to their door and taking their radio receivers away from them.
All right, hold on, Dr. Bruce Elving, Bob Grove, Stuart McKenzie, and Paul Swearingen. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KOA, Radio 85.
Their subject, Judeo-Christian relations since Vatican II.
This is Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.
I guess we have to say that the shortwave bands do have a lot of religious broadcasters on them. Certainly the Vatican, certainly HCJB, Family Radio.
KVOH.
That's right, KVOH, the just one on the air in Southern California. There's KGEI in San Francisco, and these broadcasters are found all around the world.
There's numerous of them. They're all
That's
over
right. The granddaddy of them all, though, is HCJB in Quito, Ecuador. And they built their own transmitter, the big 500,000-watt transmitter they have. They built their own power project. They have a dam that they had to build, a hydroelectric plant to run the thing up in the Andes Mountains in Quito, Ecuador. Ready something else. All right, let's go to New York City. And Bill, good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Ray.
Yes, sir.
And you have a beautiful show tonight.
Good.
As I missed the last one last year, but
sorry about that.
Well, the last time I spoke with you on the first was when we were talking about the writer of Disney. And at this time right now, I have a question of import for your guest.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I would like to receive from Ireland, the country of Ireland.
I don't think they have a broadcast.
No, they're strictly broadcast.
Broadcast band.
Broadcast band. They don't have a shortwave service.
Yes, but is it long wave only?
No, it's a broadcast band.
Medium.
AM, medium wave.
Uh-huh. I see. So the only thing is, I guess they have just the pirates, as they were saying.
But you'd have to be in Europe to hear it.
It's quite difficult on the East Coast to get anything from that area, although I receive BBC pretty well. I use a realistic DX302.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, in the Marine Corps, I used the Collins Track 75, which was an excellent receiver and transmitter, of course. And
how long have you been listening to shortwave?
Well, let me see, about 35 years.
That's a long time.
Well, I think you have a little bit edge on me there, Ray.
I started in 48, so it's not much more.
Well, I was only three then.
Oh.
And besides that, you got your license for flying. I don't yet.
That's all right. You'll get it.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
I use a simulator, and maybe one of these days I can take off a single engine.
All right. Well, listen, Bill, regarding shortwave, what's your favorite shortwave station?
My favorite? Well, I really have to see BBC World Service.
You tuned in to hear the name?
Of course.
I mean, they have the regular newscast, and they have correspondence report. They have review of the British press. They have 24 hours, and they have all of these reports and commentary. It's something else.
They have an excellent broadcast almost 24 hours a day.
That's right.
If, in fact, you can pick it up.
In fact, they still have radio drama.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, in New York City, in the weekends, sometimes we have radio drama from the old days,
mm-hmm.
30s and 40s.
But they're still producing radio drama.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, quite well.
And we lost the rebirth of radio drama when the CBS Mystery Theater bit the dust.
That's exactly true. Well, CBS is in...
Well, it wasn't because of the corporate structure. It was the fact that there just weren't the economics of it. There weren't enough listeners, unfortunately.
That's quite true, too. And we're trying to figure out with other folks in this area here just exactly why is it something with society changing that people don't...
Because you're basically appealing to those who remember the halcyon golden days of radio,
uh-huh.
And youngsters today are not interested in... For the most part, there are some who certainly are, but for the most part, they grew up with TV, and that's it. That's their medium.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a terrible shame, but I don't know exactly who to blame, but I still try to give an injection of, mm-hmm. Of the radio broadcast to the youngsters.
That's good, Bill. I have to leave you, and thanks for the call.
Don't forget to write to us. Our address is the DX Party Line, care of radio station HCJB, Quito, Ecuador, South America. We'll be looking for that letter from you. We'll be glad to send you our latest card if you meet the requirements mentioned early in the program. A full-color general view showing scenes on the Galapagos Islands.
1-213-879-TALK. That's our number here at Talk Radio. Now, as soon as the phone starts to ring, go ahead and let it ring. We won't answer it until it's your turn. That'll save you some money. 1-213-879-TALK. 1-213-879-8255.
We ask all Americans to support the peace movement wholeheartedly. Join the rallies. Turn out into the streets on November 6th. Show our Congress that the American people mean business and that we are behind them in our insistent demand that this illegal war be stopped now. Without the people, there is no democracy. Democracy is people's power. Sincerely, Edison W. Miller, Lieutenant Colonel, United States Marine Corps, Tustin, California.
Walter Eugene Wilbur, Commander, United States Navy, Troy, Pennsylvania.
That was a recorded message to the American people from two American pilots detained in North Vietnam.
Well, you hear Vietnam, you hear Moscow, Pyongyang. You can literally hear all of the hot spots of the world, South Africa. Have you, any of you heard anything that has been dramatic? How about you, Stuart?
Well, the Falklands War that went on, we heard the action as it was going on, and we heard the clandestine station, Radio Liberty, that was down there. And then during the Vietnam War, we heard Hanoi Hannah. And her broadcasts to the American troops, and of course during World War II, the troops then had Tokyo Rose. So
that's right.
The action is there.
It really is. When things are really happening in the world, the first thing that happens, the both sides usually have the shortwave transmitters piped up. If they've been doing broadcasting of some other type, they drop everything and reorient the antennas, boost the power, and they start the propaganda war. It's just an extension of the fighting war.
Right, right. Because as in when the Czechoslovakia invasion,
That's right. The
programming immediately changed, and we heard what was going on. Or if a death of a leader in a certain country, the programming will abruptly change, and you know there's something going on.
Let's say hello to Rochelle. Good morning, Rochelle.
Well, good morning.
You're on with Stuart McKenzie, Paul Swearingen on the phone from Duluth, Minnesota, Dr. Bruce Elving, publisher of FM Atlas and FM Media, and Bob Grove, president of Grove Enterprises and Monitoring Times from Brasstown, North Carolina.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a comment and a question. I understand also about the cellular thing that it's no longer legal to manufacture a scanner that picks up cellular.
That's true.
I'd like to address that.
Okay.
That is one of the most common misconceptions which is now out there. There is absolutely no legislation considered or pending that has to do with scanners. It's often called the scanner bill, and it's often called the cellular bill. But what it does address is the illegality of purposeful monitoring of mobile radio telephone messages. Essentially, it is still perfectly legal to manufacture, to distribute, and to use scanners that get the cellular band. What it's not legal to manufacture or to distribute or to use is a radio receiver whose primary purpose is to intercept these illegally monitorable transmits.
It's interpretation.
Right, exactly. So as a matter of fact, all of the major manufacturers, with one exception, Radio Shack, whom I'll address shortly, have intent not only to continue, but to put out new products which cover the 800 megahertz cellular band. Radio Shack declined, and they have modified their Pro 2004 scanner, which has just been released, by omitting and censoring the cellular section of the 800 megahertz range. But they did that as a marketing decision because they also put out cellular telephones.
Oh.
Right. But there is no legislation considered or pending regarding the banning of scanners.
Okay, now you also mentioned the FM subcarrier types of broadcasts.
And that's right.
I have heard that in some cities they will use this to broadcast the regular newspaper for, say, blind people who can't read the newspaper.
Yes, that's quite prevalent around the country.
How do you pick up these frequencies?
Well, you have a special adapter unit put in your radio, or you get a radio from the radio reading services. It's usually free or rented to you at a very low cost. But some blind people like to have their own because as they travel from different cities, they might take a bus or ride with somebody
else.
Exactly. They would like to be able to tune in these different frequencies, and having a tunable radio enables them to do this. In the state where I live, it's a very cumbersome process. You take a vacation in a different part of the state. You have to write to them in advance and tell them what area you're going to be in. They send you a radio for that frequency for that area.
And there's a time lag, and they lose a lot of flexibility because of this problem.
All right, Rochelle, thank you very much. Let's go to Urbana, Illinois, and John. Morning, John.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I've been DXing for about a year. Actually, I started in Japan.
Really?
Yes. I started with this receiver I found in this garbage dump, but luckily...
You found a receiver in a garbage dump?
Yes, it wasn't a very good receiver. It was one of those one-band shortwave receivers, which is practically impossible to tune. Fortunately, now I have a Sony ICF-2001D, which over here is known as 2010.
Yes.
Oh, and as far as the question that was brought up earlier about the antenna provided with the Sony, I think that the wire antenna provided with the Sony is made out of headphone wire and or something like that, and I found that thicker wire tends to get better results.
That's right.
But anyway, there are a few stations that I haven't been able to get recently very well. For example, Radio Beijing. Do you know what frequencies it's broadcasting on?
Well, I hear them at about 1,200 to 1,300 hours in the 31-meter band on the West Coast. They have a couple of frequencies there. I think one is 9535. Do you know what it is, Stuart?
Offhand, no, I don't.
It on 9535.
Yeah, 9535, that's it. Yeah.
And I think they've changed their frequencies.
Hmm. Well, having only started listening to shortwave a year ago, what's your opinion so far?
Well, my favorite, I'm still undecided as to what my favorite station is. I have, lots of favorite stations. Sometimes I want to listen to BBC. Actually, when I first started listening to shortwave radio, I wanted to listen to BBC in Japan. While I was in Japan, I used to listen to the Chinese public broadcasting station quite often. But I haven't got them from over here except maybe once or twice. I think on 10,260 or something like that. I'm not quite sure.
Very good. I see on my screen you wanted to talk about the Voice of Nicaragua. We don't have much time. Did you want to know the frequency?
Yes.
It's 6115.
6115.
Yeah.
And it's 03 to 05 still?
Somewhere in there. I think that's about right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. We'll be right back on our DX Shortwave Special.
This is the voice of Vietnam. This is the voice of Vietnam, broadcasting from Hanoi, capital of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam. Our programs in English can be heard daily at 0:30, 5, 8:30.
This is KOA, Radio 85, the spirit of Denver.
Reports from Belfast indicate that the funeral turned into a demonstration against British domination. More than 1,000 British troops were alerted for action. It is reported that there are more than 4,000 British troops in Northern Ireland. They are helping reserve formations of the North Ireland Police to suppress the civil rights movement. Press estimates put the number of wounded civilians at 500 since the crisis broke out. In New York, the permanent representative of the Republic of Ireland has demanded an emergency meeting of the Security Council.
And that's the news from Radio Moscow.
How's that for quality? Sometimes
wow.
They really boom in, don't they? All right, let's take a call here from Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Ray. How are you doing tonight?
All right.
Say, this will be the third time that I've heard you. I got to hear the first one, and then...
You only tune in when we have the specials on, is that right?
Actually, right.
My.
Think about the first show, I forgot how, but somehow I heard about it. And then the second one I literally caught by accident. I wasn't prepared for it, so I didn't hear the whole thing. And then being a National Radio Club member, in their DX news bulletin, I read about your program and look forward to...
And, of course, Paul Swearinger is the musings editor of the National Radio Club.
Yeah, and I haven't sent any musings. I've been a member for about a year now, but I certainly enjoy reading not only yours, Paul, but a lot of the other members, especially yours, Paul, because you're basically in the same area that I live in, and so a lot of times the stations that you'll be hearing or listening to, I sometimes try and pick up myself.
And I don't DX enough, so your input is appreciated any time that you want to write a muse.
Yeah. Ray, you know, some of the listeners that called in, I agree with you that Trap antenna, I think, would probably work out real well with that one receiver he's got. It's small. It'll fit into a smaller area anyway.
The Trap antennas are very efficient.
Yeah, I like that. And then the other listener that called in about the... information about frequencies, there's another publication that you didn't mention called the International Listening Guide that I used to subscribe to, and they just changed their publication to, it's basically almost a magazine size now, and it's a basic directory of international shortwave broadcasting only for English. I think the magazine's available in other languages too, but it's updated quarterly, and a lot of the stations do change their frequencies every season, and then this keeps you posted on that.
Let me ask you about shortwave listening. What do you like about it?
Well, I like the being able to hear a distant station. I think that's always thrilled me when my father introduced me to shortwave listening when I was probably about six or seven. And
so you're a true DXer.
Well, off and on. I quit listening for a while. I picked it up again when I was about 14, listened to the medium wave band, and I was thrilled to pick up KORL from Hawaii. And then I dropped it for a while. Now I've been into it again. I own an R2000, and I'm pleased with that. And I've listened to the shortwave band. I was listening to it more at your first broadcast, and now I've switched to medium wave DXing because with the 11-year sunspot cycle at an all-time low, shortwave bands are down, but AM DXing is up. It's at its best, and I'm hoping that maybe... Richard Wood might be calling in tonight. I enjoyed listening to him on the first program, and I enjoyed...
Yeah, he's living in Hawaii, so he just might call.
Yeah, and there is a broadcast out there.
On KGU.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a great hobby. I really enjoy it. I get a Christmas card every year from Radio Bulgaria.
You get a Christmas card from Radio Bulgaria?
I haven't sent him a letter in a long time. I get one.
You made my night. All right, Jim, thank you for checking in.
I hope that you have some more listeners to talk more about. Oh, and one thing, too. Paul, did you bring any of the tapes that you have been making recordings of station IDs with you to broadcast? And I'm envious of your tapes, Ray. I enjoy them.
You are?
No, I didn't bring any tapes tonight.
Too bad.
Okay. We'll do that next year. All right. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
Let's add to Jim's list the Radio Database International as another excellent source of more recent frequency and scheduling information.
All right. Stand by. On the phone from Brasstown, North Carolina, publisher of Monitoring Times, Bob Grove, Dr. Bruce Elving, publisher of FM Atlas and FM Media from Duluth, Minnesota. In the studio, Stuart McKenzie, president of the American Shortwave Listeners Club, and Paul Swearingen, who is AMDX editor for Monitoring Times and musings editor for the National Radio Club DX News.
This is the Spirit of Denver, KOA, Radio 85.
Quickly, let's go to Kelso, Washington, and Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. I'm more of a utilities listener than shortwave, or than the short broadcast station, though I do tune them in occasionally.
What's your favorite utilities station? Aircraft?
I enjoy tracking down Air Force One.
Air Force One?
Yes.
You track down Air Force One? Really?
I have a comment about that ECTA you're talking about. And the fact that Radio Shack is limiting the coverage from one of their scanners. True, the cellular band is up there, but I think they're forgetting there's other things up there, too. You know, there's a lot of cities and states that are running out of coverage in the lower bands, and they're going up to the 800 and 900 spectrum.
Right. Bob, let me interject that they have not deleted the coverage of the spectrum. They have only deleted the specific frequencies in that band that relate to cellular telephone.
Uh-huh. You think there will be a possibility of an alteration along the way?
A defeat? I had an anonymous tip come in on a postcard that said that all you had to do was clip a diode in the microprocessor to re-enable it. I can't attest to that fact yet.
We'll have to wait and see. Also, when I was in Europe a year and a half or so ago, I rented a car, and there... the radios over there have the shortwave bands on them.
Yeah, they have the 49-meter band.
Do you know of any way a person could get a hold of that radio for a car in the U.S.?
I've often thought of it myself. I really don't know. Do you know, Paul?
There are some converters available. In fact, I think...
No, but he's talking about the radio itself without the converter.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Listen, we're out of time. Bob, thank you very much for the call. And thank you, Bob Grove and Dr. Bruce Elving, for being with us.
My pleasure.
Take care now.
Very good.
Good DXing. This is Talk Radio. I'm Ray Brain.